Welcome in to the Bearcast on Sikkim365.com, sponsored by WellMed Medical Management. Today, Colt and I are talking about the top risers from Baylor Spring Football. We're not going to dive into all of them, but we're going to talk about six guys here today, Colt, that we definitely see as risers after spring football camp.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you talk about a team that returns so much on, I don't want to say as much on the defensive side of the ball, but there is names on the defensive side of the ball. Majority of the offense returns. It's hard to pick and say, who are the risers? Because you want the guys that were already there to establish and stay and maintain. But there are holes specific on the offensive side of the ball. So I don't know if that was my pitch, but I'm going with it. My number one is Caden Soraki at right tackle. And this is a guy that has had, you know, for lack of a better phrase, he was hated on his freshman year in 2023, redshirt freshman year, because the entire offensive line struggled. But he's a guy that just keeps on taking steps. And I remember visiting with Mason Miller back in the fall, and he mentioned it and was just like, these dudes get older. Like, these guys need to be old. They need to be stronger. They're like little baby giraffes out there when they're redshirt freshmen. They add weight. They get stronger. Perfect example here is the biggest guy on the roster in a lot of ways, like 6'8". You know, 350 pounds, however much he is. I don't even know how heavy he is now, but he's trying to solidify that right tackle position. And that is the hole that Campbell Barrington's leaving behind. And he's going to be a redshirt junior. This is the year, truly, from a developmental standpoint, when he should be playing. He shouldn't have been playing as a redshirt freshman. He got thrown into the fire. Even last year, he was just kind of a swing guy. He would play in a lot of different spots, but now he's going to be settled in. And from everything we've heard before, they've added another right tackle potentially to compete. He is the guy. I think you could still see them add someone to come in and compete, but his time in the system, his athletic ability, everything they're going to ask him to do is really exciting for me to see, because I actually loved him as a prospect out of high school because of his athletic ability. He's kind of heavy-footed. He's kind of a guard in a lot of ways, but that matches up with this scheme for a guy that can collapse the edge in the run game. You think about those Bryson Washington runs where he hits the hole and then breaks out. A lot of that time is from an offensive tackle raking down and getting to that second level and allowing those runs to happen. Caden can do that. And not that we sat there and watched exponents of tape against from him this spring, but the things that you kind of trickle out and you hear about what he's doing and the way he's developing, he's a grown man now, and I'm really excited to see him take that next step.
I like Caden a lot, and he's a guy who was kind of one of those weird guys during his recruitment, because he was a late offer. He got offered after a Baylor camp in the summer, committed pretty shortly after to Eric Mateos and that staff. And it really has hurt him to have, you know, multiple coaches and having to kind of shift. You know, he was at guard at one point, at left tackle at one point, now at right tackle. Like, he's kind of been moving around a lot. And that doesn't really, it does you favors because it allows you to be more versatile, but doesn't allow you to really focus and hone in on your craft. And I felt like last year, you know, he was battling Alvin Ebosele for the very beginning of the season, and neither of them really could get the job done. Just wasn't their time. And so they finally moved some pieces around, and Sidney Fugar took over left tackle. And, you know, Caden has been fighting and working hard to really anchor that right tackle position. And I know Mason Miller's very high on him. I know the staff is excited for what he can do. I think they're probably going to bring in a transfer tackle to make sure that they have depth there. I don't even know if that guy will be a true backup. You know, it might just be a guy who comes in as a developmental piece, because Baylor has some holes on the offensive line that they definitely need to address with the younger classes. So very excited about it. I think Caden's had a good camp, and I do think he's a guy who, I think at least at the end of spring, feeling pretty good that he's probably going to be the answer at right tackle to replace Campbell Barrington. So diving into kind of where I'm looking at it from a, I guess I'll kind of feed off of what you said with Caden Soraki, and I'm going to go to the running back position. And I think that, you know, a big storyline coming into the spring was Bryson Washington and Dawson Pendergrass coming off of this massive season where they had so much success. They were so good. They were really consistent. Bryson is, you know, one of the best returning running backs in the entire country, and he's going to be that again next year. He's going to get a lot of carries. He's going to get a lot of work. He's going to put up huge numbers. But I think because we knew those two guys were there, I think a lot of people just anticipate, oh, it's just going to be this duo. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think true freshman Caden Knighton is going to play, and he's going to play a lot. This guy is a difference maker. When you watch him throughout, you know, the spring, throughout scrimmages, his ability to break the big play for a touchdown is very unique. You know, you're talking 80 yard type touchdown runs, that kind of upside, that kind of difference making ability is what could get him on the field, the pass catching as well. But with Bryson Washington and Dawson Pendergrass missing time, it allowed Caden Knighton to really flourish and really take advantage of those opportunities. I think he's going to be a really good player. And I think he's actually going to be a little bit of a difference maker for this Baylor offense as a true freshman. As far as offense goes, I think he's going to be the true freshman that has the biggest impact on this team this year.
Yeah, and at running back, it's a great position to do that. And we saw it last year. I mean, they tried to get three running backs in there. You talk about Richard Reese, who's no longer at the program now. They wanted to use three guys. I think they all had a role. And it's also just limiting hits. And I think it's part of the reason you saw Bryson and Dawson both just kind of get through the spring. They got their reps. They know the scheme, but just don't have that wear and tear on the running back position. They want to use multiple guys. So, yeah, Caden's a lot of fun. Go watch his high school tape if you haven't, and you see his ability. I mean, it's like a video game a lot of times. Now, step up in competition. We'll see how it fully goes, but he has that type of ability, a good size, good high end speed as well. Shifting to the defensive side of the ball. Before we got on air, you mentioned this, so I'm kind of stealing your thunder, but pass rush was a high point for Dave Aranda at the end of spring of what he was talking about. And that leads me to a position they recruited at the edge position, the jack position, outside linebacker position, all in the same. But Matthew Fobbs White was a guy that came from Tulane that was a high-quality pass rusher statistically. He graded so well. I mean, it was like top 10 in the country in pass rush grade, according to Pro Football Focus. And that's what he's being brought in to do. You lose Steve Linton, Garvin Randolph. Those are kind of your guys on the edge. Linton specifically, you have to replace that ability to rush the passer. Fobbs White has that potential. I'm anxious to see how he holds up against the run in a lot of circumstances. He's a little bit smaller, but they didn't bring him in necessarily to do that. I think they feel comfortable for other reasons stopping the run. But with him specifically, let's get after the passer, learn to drop in coverage, to kind of do everything. But specifically, rush the passer. Guy that recruited out of high school a little bit, he ended up signing with Tulane, produced there. Now he's in Waco. He loved Baylor out of high school. Now he's here. I'm really excited to see him for 2 years, especially in Dave Aranda's scheme.
He was actually the edge prospect that coming into this spring I was most excited about, like the one that they added that just had the numbers, had the production. Can do a lot of different things. He's not a big player, though. He actually kind of goes against the grain of what Baylor's been looking for at the edge position, which I think is actually a very smart shift by the Baylor staff. You're seeing some of the guys they recruit, they're not just going after 6'4", you know, 250 anymore. Yeah. They're expanding that a little bit to be like, oh, if you can get after the quarterback, great. That's what we need. And I think that's what Fobbs White brings to the table. My only thing with him is, when you're in true, just every down situations, it might be hard to play him if he doesn't take a big step up against the run. But as a pass rusher, I think he's going to be really hard to stop. And I think he's going to be in the backfield a whole lot this year. And I think with what Baylor has on the defensive line, he's going to get a lot of one-on-one opportunities, which is going to be something that he's probably going to be very excited about. And that leads into my second guy, which is also at the edge position. Yeah. I've been really excited about this one since the beginning of spring. First practice out there, the guy that stood out just as far as just he's in pads physically, you know, an imposing force, it's the Oregon transfer Imarion Winston, also at the edge position. But this guy is huge. I mean, he is absolutely huge. Yeah. And you know, you go and look at, you know, Garmin Randolph and Steve Linton from last year, that's kind of the mold that this guy fits in with his size, his frame. He's already up to, I think he's like 255, 260, and he's 6'4", 6'5". So he's got this opportunity to play an every down role and be on the field a lot and almost function as kind of this true defensive end who also has the athleticism to drop into coverage and get after the quarterback and do a lot of different things without needing to be specialized in anything. And I think that's what makes me so intrigued with him. They also will get him for multiple years as well, potentially. So I think he's a guy who can absolutely be a difference maker. He was a four-star recruit during his recruiting class cycle. And I just think he's a guy who just looks different. And when a guy looks different and then you hear all the things about him performing and you kind of see the flashes in practice and through these scrimmages, I think there's a lot there that Baylor's working with. And I think because of those two guys and also, you know, Kamarion Morgan and the veteran experience of Kyler Jordan, I think that's why we haven't really heard too much momentum about Baylor looking for edges in the transfer portal this cycle. I think they've been pretty happy with what they've seen. So I think both of those choices are very good ones.
Yeah, they had to replace Randolph and Linton for sure. I mean, that those guys were playmakers. I mean, how many times did one of those two guys, Linton specifically in pass rush, just making a play to shut down a drive, being athletic and doing it. They needed to replace those, and they tried, and I feel like they've done a pretty good job. Now, they got to do it on the field. So another guy, you mentioned physically standing out. This is a guy, Baylor, you know, recruiting cornerbacks is a challenge at a place like Baylor because it's such a prioritized position. If you have a good corner, physically gifted corner, then you're doing, like, you get one of those and you can shut down the half of the field, you're doing pretty well. Well, a guy physically that was recruited based on his physical attributes to Ohio State was Calvin Simpson Hunt. Now he's at Baylor. This is a guy that Paul Gonzalez, who comes over from TCU, recruited and knew. Now they're working together. And it is, I would say, from where the direction this defense wants to go, if he can pan out and play at a high level for a couple of years, can change the dynamics of this defense because he's so physically gifted. If you can say, go get the one-on-one on the outside and we don't have to worry about it anywhere else in the, you know, in Big 12 games, that's massive. Calvin Simpson Hunt is a guy physically that just is different than what they have. And I want to go back to Lorando Johnson for a second, the swagger, his physicality that he played with. He wasn't always the best tackler, but he played with that different type of edge. You throw a guy like Calvin Simpson Hunt out there, if he can show that type of edge, that physicality, that's massive for a Dave Aranda defense and what they want to do. They want to protect the safeties. They want the safeties to help. But if a cornerback can take on a lot of responsibility, that's huge. This guy was very, very highly recruited out of high school. If he can rekindle that and get back to that level, huge win for Baylor out of the portal and for this season specifically.
I agree. And I think when you look at Calvin Simpson Hunt, this is a guy that raises the upside of that group and gives them a chance to be really dynamic and different. Now, I think it's also worth noting he hasn't played a lot of football. Like he didn't play a lot at Ohio State. So he's coming in kind of clean slate, right? Kind of with Paul Gonzalez and what he's trying to build with the cornerback room, but he fits the mold. And you go look at those TCU cornerbacks from back in the day, they weren't the biggest guys. But technically they were very sound. And when you get a guy like Calvin Simpson Hunt, if he matches that with the, you know, if he can be a technician, the sky's the limit for him. I mean, that's an NFL prospect if he's able to do that, because the speed, the strength, the size, that's what's coveted at the NFL level. And so I'm very intrigued by that. I think to get a guy that was that highly rated as a recruit, it's a difference making quality that you just can't find very easily. Okay. So diving into my last one, and I think this is a guy that we've probably talked about too much, but I'm just really, really excited about what Baylor got from Alabama transfer Kobe Prentice. A lot of people are going to look at what happened during his junior season, in which Kalen DeBoer came to Alabama. He brought in his players, and because of that, Kobe's production went down, and it was supposed to be his breakout year. Now that breakout year may come at Baylor. And I really think there's an opportunity for that. He's got great speed. He's got great polish. But the thing that he has that I'm just so enamored with is the route running and the lack of drops. This guy catches everything, and his route running is so sharp and so polished that I think he's going to be open a whole lot for Sora Robertson and this offense. And for that reason, he does give them a different quality that they've been looking for. He's got the ability to play outside. He's got the ability to play in the slot. He can kind of do it all. And this isn't necessarily me saying that he's going to outperform, you know, a Josh Cameron or whatnot, but it is me saying that I think there's going to be situations where he absolutely takes over games and gives you those performances that you really need at the key moments. And I think Sawyer's going to be trusting him a lot. I think there's a lot of upside with Kobe Prentice, and he's a guy who, again, that talent level that he has and that upside that he has could take this offense to an entirely new level.
Yeah, I think the component that I looked there to maximize his potential was the return of Ashton Hawkins, which was massive. I don't think that might not be talked about enough. I know that it's been discussed, but that is a huge for a guy like Kobe Prentice to say, those guys are kind of similar in a lot of ways. They can do a lot of different things. To have both of them on the field at once creates issues for a defense, where they can line up, what they can do. Then throw in the fact that if they can add another larger receiver, those guys, when they're on the field together, they're just so many components. Talked about the differences in Josh Cameron, what he's capable of doing. But the receiving group has so many different variables that can make it really good. Kobe is part of that. Like, he is absolutely part of that. Talk about highly rated guys, top 100 national player out of high school. He was only at 89 as a transfer portal player, but I think that speaks to him because his production wasn't great this last year at Alabama, but he still had a pretty good grade as a transfer, according to 247 Sports. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that the receiving core, specifically him, you go watch his highlights from Alabama when he had the ball in his hands against top competition. He made plays. I think he fits in really well with Jake Spavadal's offense.
And they've really kind of rounded out the roster as far as replacing pieces. I think Cole Wilson, the Texas State transfer, is kind of going to shift into that Monterey Baldwin type role with his speed. So they've done a nice job trying to answer all of those questions after losing so many receivers last year. I think they've done a really nice job of that. And Prentice really stands out in that regard. So that is it for today. Colt and I will be back to talk more spring football. Hopefully, again, Ashley will be on for a men's basketball one as well, as we kind of wrap up kind of what's been going on with the transfer portal with Scott Drew and company. But that is it for today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Bearcast on SickUp365.com.